What is up, everybody? Welcome to this week's episode of the Dense Pixels Podcast. We've got a full house this week. including a man who's walked in from the street and apparently doesn't have any idea where he is right now.
I feel lost right now. I really do.
What are these video games?
Different. We're on Discord and shit. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Terrence is here. Obviously, you just heard. Yes. Terrence. Micah's here.
Hello.
And Carrie's here.
What's up?
Once again, we are taking our typical format and just throwing it directly into the trash can for this episode because Key 3 2023 happened over this past weekend. There were copious Summer Games Fest things happening. We're not going to go through step by step because that's boring and you probably watched it anyway, but what we are going to talk about are the games that most caught our attention and that seemed the most interesting to us. And I got to tell you, boy, it took T-minus 45 minutes to get me going from a bit skeptical about Starfield to being like, well, this is probably going to be the greatest game of all time if they can live up to the fucking hype that they've established for this game now. It's crazy. The way I coined this is I said this is like the iOS, or it's like the Apple product of space action adventure games, because they waited to see, they let everybody else innovate in the industry and they let everyone else fall on their face to see what worked really well and how you can improve on it. And then Base Todd is just going to take all these ideas and shove them into one game and avoid the pitfalls that other people had. He's like, you know, No Man's Sky, they made what, like 16 quadrillion planets in their game. Well, we're going to just do 1,000. And that'll be way better, but that's still more than anybody else has by a wide margin. And he's like, man, Mass Effect Andromeda, the one thing that game did really well was combat. Why was combat cool? Because they gave you a jetpack. So we're going to give you a jetpack too and let you zoom around and shoot things with real weapons, not bullshit like tinker weapons that you find in Fallout. And it's going to play like a real FPS, because that's what the gamers want nowadays, is they want real fast and precision combat. And so that looks cool. And they're like, man, you know what's really fun? Building a spaceship. Well, how about we let you like make a Lego spaceship and you can make it look however you want to, and even make it look like a giant mech or a platypus or whatever the fuck, you know, whatever the fuck animal you want to. And you can have 9 of them because you can fucking go into space and you can raid other people's spaceships and you can steal them from them. And that's fun because you can't really do that I can think of in too many other mainstream games. And we're going to have a tight narrative around it and all these planets, and we're still Bethesda. So we're going to find a way to put cowboys in space, and we did it. And there's like a whole fucking Wild West area. And this game just has something for everybody. I feel like it's, you know, a little bit of a cliche, but man, they really just fucking laid it out on the table and got a lot of people really excited.
So now all they have to do,
completely disinterested.
Well, now all they have to do is navigate all of the, now they have to just navigate all of their usual pitfalls, that come with a Bethesda game. I didn't get to see much of Summer Games Fest, but I did watch this, at work. And, look, I'm not a Bethesda fan. Like, I've played a couple of Elder Scrolls games. I never finished them. I've played 2 Fallout games. I've only finished 1. There's just something about them that, and I think it's the setting. Fallout is sci-fi, but it's like retro sci-fi. I don't like that. And then, you know, high fantasy is cool, but I'm not a high fantasy guy. I'm a space guy. I am a space guy. So if there is any Bethesda game that's going to get me to kind of get into it, I think it's going to be this one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they already locked you into a $70 purchase when they were like, this is the kind of character creator that you can spend 3 hours in easily.
Right.
That's going to be the first 10 hours of Micah's experience, is just messing around with the character creator.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
Yeah, man, because, like, It's hard making magic happen. You know, I want my character to look like me,
especially if you're black.
Yeah, man. Like,
it's not an easy task.
God help you if they don't have black hair, man. If they don't have black hair, I'm gonna be real pissed. Well,
that's the true test, isn't it? Is it?
That's the real test.
Looking black hairstyles. So.
Yeah, man. I'm tired of making bald black dudes or black dudes with this haircut. Like, I want serious like if Street Fighter can do it, then this game can do it. This game better do it. So,
like, what you do? You just make a black woman, like I always do.
Yeah,
a lot more hairstyles.
You got a lot more options.
Yeah, way more options.
My wife just walked in here with blonde hair today. So yeah, you got options. Look, I like the presentation, but I'm not super jazzed about the presentation. Like that is 100% like 45 minutes of carefully choreographed. Carefully written, carefully shown slices of the game. Yeah. It's meant for people who make YouTube videos with their face as the thumbnail, giving some sort of expression, right? Like, it's for them.
I still have those in my back pocket of you, by the way. Maybe we can throw that on this video over the Starfield. Micah, I will tell you, and I'll just get all of your hopes up by saying Matt Booty said when talking the Giant Bomb that even if it shipped today, it would have the fewest bugs of any Bethesda game ever upon release, which I thought was a hilarious statement.
Oh, instead of 10,000 bugs, it'll have 9,000 bugs. Okay.
Look.
Gotcha.
Fallout New Vegas had a lot of fucking bugs. I consider it part of the Bethesda experience, to be quite frank. It is simply part of the charm, is seeing some NPC just like clip through the ground out of nowhere. It's gonna happen. We all know it's gonna happen. There's just gonna be some wonky bullshit that goes on every so often, and that's just going to be part of the experience. And here's the thing, if it's not, good for them. But that's like the benchmark everyone's expecting to happen, is just generally wonky bullshit. But the game's going to be really good. It's going to be very immersive, I'm sure. It's probably going to be a ton of fun. It's a day one purchase for me because I'm a big old simp for Daddy Todd. And I want to go to space.
It does not fix Micah's biggest problem with this as the games, and that is the characters still look like dead-eyed soulless freaks when you're talking to them.
Yeah, man. They're just like, they just... Really? Here is some interesting dialogue.
To be fair, at least one of them is very supposed to look like that, which is the fact. I love the fact that they brought back the fucking adoring fan from Oblivion. Same voice actor and everything. It's just like,
oh, to do with the blonde hair.
Yeah. If you pick the hero worship trait for your dude, you get that guy showing up. Which I just, it's a cute throwback. It's not a character that showed back up in Skyrim, but it's a character that like everybody fucking remembers that weirdo. And why not do something silly like that every so often? Yeah. That is something that I do think the Bethesda games have all done really well, is like, particularly the Fallout, is like, they don't take themselves so fucking seriously. Like there's always a sense of humor, present in all of these games. So I really appreciate that. I'm looking forward to this game. I'm glad that they delayed it for as long as they did.
Mm-hmm.
And Microsoft needs a win. I watched the entire 45 minutes, and as someone that put like 400 hours into No Man's Sky, which, there's way less to do in that game, than this one. Yeah, this looks dope.
Yeah.
Like, it looks really fucking cool. Like, but it's Bethesda, so you're going to run into the problems that Bethesda games bring up, regardless of how many bugs they say they don't have. But no, like, just the character creation, which I would spend 2 to 3 hours on. Like I'm dead. Like, no, I'll spend like 3 hours on character creation to like get it right. The ship creation? Come on, man. Like, we're sitting there for fucking 10 hours just like creating whatever weird ship shit that I can do. Exploration, they said 1,000 planets. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know if the planet is going to be like a, because what is it? No Man's Sky, mm-hmm. those planets were full planets.
Yeah.
Like you could walk that entire, like you would never be able to walk a full planet in No Man's Sky. It would take you forever. I don't know how it's going to work in this game.
I get the sense because when they showed the galaxy map, right, and they showed like the planetary view, it looked like there was like two or three like points of landing
interest, interest on this planet. That's what I'm like. So are those the only two places you can go to on the planet? I mean, granted, like an entire planet is overkill, but like that was the beauty of No Man's Sky. But like, how big are those areas going to be? Because they have whole cities in this game.
Yeah,
like that's crazy. And I saw, I think someone preloaded it. It's like 125 gigs. So
yeah, you can hardly go into the fucking Microsoft store and load the game now, which is weird to me that, you know, we're 3 months out. And you're just like, hey, just download this on your PC now. Like, why the fuck would I? Like, that's like, it's not even out yet.
This would be a game that I would definitely like put. Like I said, I put 400 in the fucking No Man's Sky when there was literally nothing to do in that game. So with this game, I couldn't imagine how much time I would put in if they have as much content as they actually say they have.
And that is the thing. Like I do need there to be a fun narrative, and they're promising like not only the main narrative, but also like all the fucking goofy side shit you run into in Bethesda games. But I like the thing that just got me, like during that whole presentation, like I just kept like, There were literally like five or six things that were maybe like, oh, like, I just kept getting fucking excited. Like when I saw how combat worked and I saw like how fast the character moved, because you, I mean, everyone that's listened to this show for a long time knows that my biggest bugaboo with those Bethesda RPGs is like the combat legitimately sucks. Like it's not fun. And like, so to fix that and to have like, you know, like modern combat in the game was like huge. And then the shipbuilding, and then even like when you're flying in the ship, they have like the thing that you see in like FTL where you can be like, all right, I'm going to put more power to my shields. Yeah. And I'm going to do micro adjustments of how I want to do this. And also you can like specifically target modules on opposing ships as opposed to just blowing the fucker out of the sky. So you can actually like disable the ship instead of just like blowing it to smithereens, so that you can
disable the ship and you can take their shit. Like, come on. Yeah. Like, again, if this actually works the way it's supposed to, this is going to be the greatest game of all time. Like, it's fucking crazy, man. And then you can create your own outposts.
Yep.
You can create fucking, like, man, look, I don't like Bethesda and Todd Howard, that nigga be lying and shit, but if all of this is true, yeah, this is definitely a win for Microsoft.
You know who else played a lot of hours of No Man's Sky? People at Bethesda that are developing Starfield.
Yeah, some of those creatures looked a little bit No Man's Sky.
Yeah, that and you know, the base building and all that.
Yeah, shit,
which I know they did base building in Fallout 4, but you know, it does seem like a 1-to-1 on No Man's Sky almost, because I saw the base. You know, I've seen the base building in that, and it was interesting. Yeah. I was shocked. Like I said, I had an interest in Starfield, but I was like, let's see. And then they kept things close to the vest. Well, they just fucking lay down the table, and now they just have to do it. So now they just have to show that they come through. And again, I don't think that they'd be as, you know, slamming their dick down if they didn't feel like that they could come through on it.
So. It was half the damn presentation.
That was the one more thing. Yeah.
It was half a movie, yo. It was 45 minutes. Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, it just kept going. I'm like, okay. All right.
So cool. Long they had to take an intermission in the middle of it. Todd Howard's like, man, we throw a lot of information. Let's take a break and sell this watch to you and this controller.
Yeah, you're a watch guy. Is that a watch worth a damn?
No, it's made by a collectibles company. So I would imagine as a watch, it's probably not going to be worth.
It's functional.
Yes, it's functional. Correct. Yeah. So get it if you want a cool game collectible. Do not buy it if you're like, I want a dope watch, because it is not gonna hold a candle to your fucking Apple Watch. I can or any other timepiece. I can guarantee. So
you have heard that it's going to be locked at 30 frames per second on the console.
Yeah,
that's kind of whack, right?
Yeah, Yeah.
There's been a lot of people bitching
1440
about that.
On the Series S, 4K on the X at locked at 30. I'm like, I thought the whole point of this generation was to like get games to 60 frames per second. Like take it, like you could take it down to 1080 or 1440 to get 60 on the X. Seems a little silly, but
my issue with it is that if you can't do 4K 60, I guess
but most games don't.
Let the player make the choice. Like, what I didn't like about it is that Todd Howard was like, "Oh, we wanted to prioritize the resolution, so you know, we have it locked at 30." And to me, that just says like we couldn't get it at a stable 60 when we're running it at 4K, and we'd rather have the 4K than the 60 frames. Again, let the players make that choice. Don't lock them out of it. If they want to play 1080 to get 60 frames a second, fucking let them. Your game's still gonna look good. Like that, it's easily the best looking Bethesda game that I've ever seen. So you know, regardless of what resolution it gets played in, it's gonna look fucking fantastic. But just let people play it the way they want to play it.
Yeah, and I feel like if you would ask like the consumers, they'd be like, "Yeah, I would rather play at 1440 60."
Yeah.
If I can get a smoother gameplay experience, like, you don't know me.
I did look at the recommended PC specs, and I should be able to run it however I fucking want to. So that makes me happy.
Good for you.
Yes.
On this topic, because it was brought up in the post office. So like I'm not trying to throw it to the post office.
Oh, let's. Why don't we just take a scoop?
Exactly. I'm just gonna take a little dip a toe into the post office because Rashawn said with the Xbox showcase, which game was your favorite? But also, why can't Xbox exclusives outside Forza lately have a standard of 60 FPS in their games? When it's marketed as the most powerful system and said by some in Xbox, like Adam Greenberg, VP of Xbox marketing, that 60 was going to be the standard for this system in 2020, with the possibility of 120, and it's 2023 and we're stuck at 30 FPS from Xbox exclusives, while third-party game studios will give you 60. Why can't Xbox do that? What's your thought? And like, I got a crib from my buddy Gene Park, who was on Twitter saying this the other day and just being like, people have to fucking let go of the pure marketing speak that was, this is the most powerful system. You got to let that go. That's pure marketing, PR, media talk bullshit. And it always was. And you can't hold on to people. One, you can't hold on to marketing shit at all, but you really can't hold on to marketing talk from 3 years ago. Because simply put, you know, ultimately, you know, he made a really good point, which was like, your phone from 3 years ago is considered dead technology. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you gotta, with how fast technology moves, you gotta keep up with the fact that like your Xbox from 3 years ago is no longer the most powerful gaming system on the planet. It's some dude's custom PC.
Right. And that's always going to be the case.
Always going to be the case, of course.
Well, I
agree, Brad, that that yes, they should be letting people choose if they want to prioritize frame rate or graphics. I do think that like at the end of the day, it's just like the stuff that people are trying to do with games are already outstripping what the system can handle in terms of processing power.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. So if you imagine like a bucket, like let's say Xbox One X has like a 10-gallon bucket of resources that developers can dump into it. Well, they were already, they topped that bucket out and they were spilling shit on the floor at the end of Gen 8. So then Gen 9 comes out and we're like, hey, we're going to give you guys a 13-gallon bucket that you can dump these resources in. They're like, cool. Well, we've already filled the fucker up because we were pushing the envelope last console generation, and now we're out of space for this one. And so as it goes along and, you know, they push the technology more and engines get more refined and things of that nature, yes, it does become difficult. That's my biggest thing, though, is just let people choose how they want to play. Like, if you can't make it work, I would much rather you have to pull back in one area or the other to make the game run well. But let the player make the choice where that gets pulled back. If they want to play at 4K and they have to, you know, do 30 frames per second,
yeah,
go with God. But if you want 60, you got to give them a lower resolution.
Yeah.
So
I'm definitely inclined to agree with that. I also just like, I need people to fucking sit and realize the incredible amount of processing power that it likely takes to like render fucking 1,000 planets worth of shit.
Yeah.
Even if you can't fully explore every single one of them. Like,
well, and that is the thing, is that with a console, like the trade-off and the trade-off with having a console that costs a certain amount of money compared to a PC is that it's a fixed spec. Like you can't do anything, like you can't put more RAM in your console. You can't put a better graphics card in your console. The trade-off is you get cheaper pricing, you know, cheaper hardware price and ease of use and all that other stuff. But the downside is that you might not get all the bells and whistles that, you know, folks that are willing to spend $2,500 on a PC are going to get. So, yeah. And fucking Eric Greenberg, don't listen to him anyway. This is the same dude that fucking dunked on Sony. We're like, well, you know, our presentation's going to have gameplay and this like we're not here to just kind of cutscenes.
Also, again, yeah, he's the vice president of marketing.
And then they started off the presentation with like four straight trailers that just had fucking pre-rendered cutscenes in them.
Yeah, like look, like, again, when you're watching or listening to these big, you know, presentations online, you always have to take everything that they're saying with a grain of salt, and you have to take it. You know, you have to understand they are trying to sell you something. Like, that doesn't mean that they're lying to you, because sure, in 2020, the goal was 60 frames per second with a stretch goal of 120. You can say that, and that can be true in the moment. And then shit changes over the course of 3 years. But again, you know, keep in mind that sure, 3 years ago, they said this is the most powerful console, and you have a lot of like major Xbox fans stomping their feet online and being like, well, why can't I have all these good games, and why can't everything be photorealistic at 60 FPS all the time? It's like, that's not realistic, and it never was.
They always give you the Obi-Wan. Everything they say is true from a certain point of view. So
like, they have the Series S. They brought two consoles out, the Series S. There's a new handheld console, the ROG Ally. It's damn near as strong, it's damn near as powerful, if not as powerful as the Series S. Mm-hmm. That's a goddamn handheld.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you plug, like, I think it has some weird proprietary, like, API or whatever. If you plug it into it, it becomes like a super laptop. But that thing is like $1,200. So, like, the system itself is $700, then there's like this extra add-on is $1,200. But like, it can run basically anything.
Yeah.
And that's a handheld. So, like, what are we talking about? It's like, it's so, yeah.
All things are possible with time and money. And again, like, if Xbox brought out, like, the Xbox fucking God Mode Series, you know, Series Infinity that could run any game you wanted, like, 60 FPS and 4K, but hey, it's going to cost $1,000. People would fucking flip tables and throw shit at them. They'd be like, well, at that point, I might as well buy a PC. Yes, you probably might as well buy a PC.
Like, I'm just not a PC guy, so like, I just have to accept the fact that I'm just going to be like 3 years behind. You know, like, you just got to accept that.
Yep.
That's fine. But like, yeah, I didn't like the fact that they were like 30 frames per second. We're locking it.
Yeah.
Unless you're on a PC, that's kind of whack.
Micah, well, look,
it better be a fucking steady 30. Let me tell you.
to hear Todd tell it, they actually, like, it was actually running at like 40 to 50, but they locked it at 30 because they wanted to have a stable frame rate.
Right.
So we'll,
like,
so we'll
most see. People have like monitors that have like what is it?
VSync.
VSync. My TV, my television has FreeSync on it. 120 20 hertz refresh rate on there. Unfortunately, it's not 2.1, which sucks, but yeah.
Like, why don't you tell the fine people real quick about all the wares that we have to pitch them here at TMP Studios?
Speaking of marketing, here's the pro at pitching things. Go to densepixels.com/fans when you go there. You'll get invited to our Discord, and you can drop us a line in the post office. We'll talk about whatever you want us to talk about. Please let it be video game related, but it doesn't have to be. And it's a good time in there. You're on the internet. You're already there. You're already watching us on youtube.com/densepixels. So why don't you hit the subscribe button and then click the bell notification icon? That really helps us out. You can see Brad in his new camera position.
Slightly rearranged office position. We had to set up the office for a local co-op with Diablo 4 out, so we had to move some things around.
Oh, there you go. And you can see Terrence for the first time in a long time.
Our backgrounds look as if we could be in the same place. Like, we could just
have a barrier. Like, the color of your wall is the color of my fucking...
That's right.
Curtains.
So, yes, youtube.com/densepixels. Subscribe to all of our shows, The Nerdpocalypse, Black on Black Cinema, Coming Distractions, and the weekly preview episode of Look Forward Political Podcast. And then when you're done, go to densepixels.com/premium. And for $5 a month or $50 for the year, you get access to all of the back catalog of podcasts, including The Airing of Grievances, No Time to Bleed, The Men with Golden Tongues, Upstage Conversation, and the full concurrent episode of the Look Forward Political Podcast.
Which is on a brief hiatus right this second.
Yeah, which is on a brief hiatus. A lot of those shows are on a brief hiatus because
we're adults with lives.
Yeah. And somebody decided he's tired of America, so he's moving. He's like, nuts to this.
Yeah,
I am moving. I will see you guys south of the border, and we wish him well. But we'll be back when he gets everything set up.
I'm telling y'all, those who got the means to do it, I haven't seen how much insurance it should cost. Health insurance, car insurance.
It's very not even upsetting. Just that. Not even just that. Just like food, yo. Just yeah. Like food. Just like it's regular very, ass food.
It's incredibly upsetting. Like, America's kind of trash, yeah.
You want, avocados? You want some avocados?
I had to pay $665 to have three cavities filled because my employer changed our insurance and now it doesn't cover as much. So I had to pay that much out of pocket for
that's ridiculous.
Three.
He probably had to pay like 17 cents where he's going to get that shit done.
Right.
It's really irritating.
It's like bullshit.
Anyway.
These are the things you should listen to the Look Forward Political Podcast for, because we often
the American healthcare system on America. Can suck my dick.
Oh my goodness. So Square presented, they had like a little presentation, like a pre-launch presentation for Final Fantasy 16 at Summer Games Fest. And part of this is they announced that, hey, like there's a demo coming to PlayStation 5. And this was smart, right? Because Final Fantasy 16, from a gameplay standpoint, a pretty big deviation from other games in the series. A lot of people are a little worried because it's so action-oriented. So this was smart. They put the demo out. Basically, it lets you play like the first 2 hours of the campaign, which you can then transfer your save data over to the main game, so you don't have to replay that, which is cool. And then after you beat that, they have a combat challenge, which basically gives you some tools that you wouldn't have until later in the game, but they put you into an earlier spot in the game to just kind of see what the combat system could look like fully realized. And the point of a demo is to, you know, get people that are on the fence with the game to check it out and to be like, oh, like, this is worth the $70 that I'm going to have to spend to play this fucking video game. And I will tell you that I downloaded the Final Fantasy 16 demo on Monday, and mission accomplished, Square. Good job. Good job by you. Have either of you played this, or is this just going to be me telling you my guys?
No, I played it.
I'm planning on it. I've just been playing Tears of the Kingdom, and I played through the We Love Katamari remake. That was fun. Needed some light.
Yeah.
Positive energy in these trying times. No, it's one of these things where it's like, I'm heading out for a few days, but once I'm back home, I'm gonna play it.
So first of all, presentation wise, game's very impressive. People are joking, they're like, oh, I definitely fucking paid attention to Game of Thrones for this game. And like, yeah, they did. Like, there's definitely a character in the beginning that's definitely the fucking Eddard Stark of the fucking game. And they honestly should have just thrown Sean Bean a shitload of money to voice this character for the fucking 20 minutes that he's in the game.
I mean, his fate is the same, guys. Like, well, like, come on, yo.
Yeah. And the story is compelling. Like they do a great job. The intro part of the game does a great job of getting you onboarded with the systems and the combat systems and introducing to the characters and getting you intrigued immediately. Like, it ends on not a cliffhanger per se, but kind of a cliffhanger in where it ends up. And you immediately dislike certain characters as soon as they walk on screen and see them for the first time.
As soon as you see them, you're like, oh, fuck you. And then it ends and it's like, yep, I was right. And then there's another one whose name is Benedicta. I wonder if Benedicta is evil. I wonder if Benedicta is going to be an antagonist.
I wonder if she was possibly a traitor of some kind before she went to the other side. Who knows?
Good job, Square.
Yeah. I mean, look, like, you know, say nothing of Japanese English translations. They are nothing if not on the nose.
I did watch, I think I watched Max. He played it. He was actually playing it last night. I watched a little bit of it. Yeah, it looks cool. Like, the combat looks fucking awesome. It's right up my alley. I love action.
Well, and so I wanted to talk about that because I did both the demo and the icon challenge at the end. And if you are looking at this from afar and seeing the coverage and being like, oh man, like, I don't really play those character action games. Like, I feel like this is going to be overwhelming to me. It's not. Like it really is similar to the Combat 7 remake. But the difference is, instead of having like the ATB and the command menu, your ATB is the cooldowns on your special abilities, basically. Like you can't just spam them. You can use them and then they cool down and you have to wait till they refresh. But the actual like combat itself, it's pretty fucking manageable. It's not super fast paced. They do introduce it to you kind of in layers. And really the system is meant, because once you get enough of these icons, which are kind of like these special powers that you get in the game, you can switch between them on the fly in combat. So like, you're kind of meant to switch between them mid combo and kind of switch off the different abilities and stuff like that. And even that's not incredibly overwhelming. Like, once you figure out kind of what each attack is good for, it's very sensible to figure out like, all right, I should do this here and link into this and combo this way and do this there, the other thing. Because they don't cool down the ability slots, they cool down the specific ability. So like, there, when you get into the combat challenge, you have three separate icons equipped, and the way the combat works is you have each icon has like a special ability you can do anytime that kind of like dictates the play style of that icon. And then they have two like powerful attacks that have cooldowns that are triggered that you can pull off. But if I do my R2 and square ability on one icon, I can switch to another icon and do that same ability in the same slot while the other one's cooling down. And you're kind of meant to be like, all right, you do this, cool it down, switch to something else, hit the abilities on that, cool down, switch to the other one, hit the abilities on that, switch, you know, the other one should be ready by the time you get back. And so they kind of have you kind of migrating between these different modes. And it's really not that complicated. It might be challenging for someone that doesn't play those types of games, but it's not going to be like you're not going to be drowning, I don't feel.
Is it similar to Stack? What you're describing, it sounds like it's like similar to like Diablo on a controller. Like, if you have your face button and then you press like R2, mm-hmm. and it's another set of powers while everything is recharging. That's pretty simple.
Yeah, that's pretty much kind of how it works. Obviously, like, the combat itself is a little bit faster paced than Diablo is, but it's manageable. I don't think that traditional Final Fantasy fans should be scared off by.
You're not going to be playing Devil May Cry.
Right? No, you're not.
It's a very dumbed down version of what that type of game is.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like Brad said, it's completely manageable. Like, even if you want to mash, I feel like you could probably get away with mashing maybe on like story or something. But like, even if you put it on action mode, you'll be fine. And, I dig the combat. I like it a lot. I like, you know, trying to come up with different combinations of combos. I only had time to finish the prologue or whatever it is. I didn't get a chance to play the second mode.
You should really go back, because that's where you can really kind of play with the tool set a little bit more. Because having three icons really does like change stuff up. Like, when you're going through the story and you just have the one, you're really handcuffed in terms of what you can do. Whereas you can actually come up with like a play style strategy. Now, my only concern about the combat is because you're using the same character the entire game, and because there's not a lot of variation in your basic attacks. Like, you can unlock some new abilities, but it's not, again, it's not nearly as complicated as like a DMC or a Bayonetta would be. My only fear is that the combat is going to get a little repetitive. And my other fear is that the boss battles, while they are a tremendous spectacle, which they are, they're designed to be that way, the actual like moments in between that are a little grating, because these fucking bosses have so many hit points.
They're sword sponges. Like, they just they just take a licking. And I was fighting the Marlboro. I hate those things. And it was just, I was like, wow, this is really kind of taking a long time. Like, really, this does. Is like, I got the pattern. I got the pattern, guys. Like, I just switched the pattern up. And it switched it up, I think, at half health. It and does, then I think yeah. it's and then I think it switched it up at 10% or something like that. One final time. But when it switches the pattern, it only does that new pattern. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't. You know,
so it doesn't like switch it up to like kind of trip you up.
No,
it either takes moves that it was doing and like adds a step to them, like it'll add an extra hit at the end or something like that, or they'll do new stuff that they weren't doing before. But again, like a lot of the big moves, especially from the bosses, are so telegraphed, like it's
and
not,
they're incredibly it's telegraphed, not, you know, like. You fight a dragoon, right? And, you know, anyone who's played a Final Fantasy knows the dragoons are known for jumping up in the air and coming down on you. I mean, like, well, here's where it's going to come down. And all you got to do is just, like, walk away.
and that's interesting, because as a game designer, if you're an older gamer, like, if you've been playing games for 40 years, like we have, you've seen it all. Mm-hmm. So, like, as a game designer, what do you do to mix things up? Like RPG wise, or just in general, like, what do you do to try to give people that have been playing forever something different?
Yeah,
like I know we're going to talk about this, the Star Wars game. It looks cool, but like, I've seen all of this in other games. You just kind of like, threw it together in a
like, so, the combat. Look, I know everybody like makes fun of this game, but it was actually really fun. The combat in Stranger of Paradise is more satisfying.
I played the demo of that, and I know Carrie said she played that for laughs, right?
I played a decent amount of Stranger Paradise.
It was actually really good. I honestly enjoyed the combat in that game.
That game is dumb. That game's dumb as hell. But the combat and the job system is real good.
I got a platinum in that game.
Jesus fucking Christ, Micah.
It's so fun to play, yo. It just really
good game,
is.
Right?
It's so fun to play.
It's kind of good.
So as goofy really as that game was, like, if you could handle the combat in Stranger of Paradise, you know, Final Fantasy 16 is going to be a cakewalk, at least for the opening couple of hours.
Right.
That's my thing. I hope it gets a little more challenging
that is fair, because again, even the combat challenge afterwards, you are still fighting someone that's relatively early in the game. And I know that you are, because the bonus that you get from beating that person in the game, you already have it like when you're in that boss fight. So I know that that's going to be that way. So and that's a fair point too. It could definitely ramp up as the game goes along, and I do hope it does. Otherwise, that story better be really compelling from start to finish to fucking drag you along. Otherwise, that combat will get very very repetitive. For sure.
Also, here's also a pet peeve. Like, I know this is a mature game, right? Mm-hmm. It's aping Game of Thrones, and Game of Thrones is known for violence and sex. I'm gonna need video game publishers to stop, or developers to stop, having like sex scenes or makeout scenes in video games. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. It looks bad. it's off-putting. You know, don't do it. Don't do it.
Like Dominic Toretto kissing Letty. Weird.
Yeah, exactly. It's weird. It's weird.
I have one question. Last question about Final Fantasy before we move on. Is this going to be your favorite dog in a video game? Oh, you haven't done the combat challenge yet. Never mind. So you can't answer.
I haven't done the combat challenge yet. I'm gonna say. Well, in a video game. I mean, I consider John Wick 4 to be a video game that I just don't play, and that's my favorite dog in a video game right now.
I that fucking Dragon's Breath sequence is the greatest action sequence in any game and in any movie I've ever seen. I'm just telling you, it's awesome.
Oh man, so they revealed finally the new Prince of Persia game, long rumored. What everyone was not expecting.
It's a fucking side-scrolling Metroidvania.
It's a side-scrolling Metroidvania, which honestly, like when I think about it and I think of the development difficulties that this game has gone through, this is probably the best and safest possible outcome for this game.
It's going back to the series roots.
Yeah.
You're right. Like, people were super upset. I'm like, did you play the game in 1991 or whatever the fuck?
No, they didn't. They weren't fucking born yet.
Right, so, you know.
Yeah, like the first couple Prince of Persia games, like people forget that Sands of Time was a series reboot, but like that game existed in the early 90s as a side scroller, and as a very influential early example of an action oriented side scrolling game like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's really nice that this is the angle that they've chosen to go with the Prince of Persia franchise. I don't know. I'm not going to play it because I ain't like that style of game, but I respect it.
I will play it because I do like the style of game. I have one concern, and it was the same concern that I had about Metroid Dread, and that is that this genre of game is so well represented nowadays by indie developers that provide. I mean, I can go get like Hollow Knight if I wanted to most days for like $8 because it's on sale like all the fucking time.
Yeah, but where'd that fucking Silk Song go?
Well, yeah, you know.
They didn't show anything. I'm so glad. People were real upset about that. But they were like, y'all forgot. Like, no, we didn't.
If Ubisoft goes out and puts a $60 price tag on this game, they're going to be in a fucking heap of trouble.
Oh, yeah, I'm not getting that.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah.
You can't do that because there's literally like hundreds of games. Very good game.
Yeah.
And again, Dread justified it, but that's Metroid. Like, and Prince of Persia is not Metroid, no matter
nor
what.
Nor is it Castlevania.
Yeah, nor is it
Castlevania. It is not one of the two games in the genre title.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So that's my only concern. I haven't seen a price tag yet. And again, I think for this game to be successful, no matter how good it is, you got to put this out at $40. Like I think that's your ceiling for price on this one. So we shall see. I don't necessarily have a ton of trust for Ubisoft nowadays as a publisher, which leads us nicely into another game that we saw that again looks interesting. But can we really trust the developer in this case to come through? So the Massive Entertainment, who are the developers of the Division series, which is a good looter shooter, but not one that ever got anyone to stick around longer than a handful of hours on, I feel like.
Right.
They're making a new Star Wars game. It's called Star Wars Outlaws. It is taking place on the Outer Rim. You are a smuggler that gets into a lot of like Han Solo-esque adventures. When I first saw this trailer and I saw the Massive, this was the Massive Star Wars game, I thought that this was going to be like a shared world like looter shooter, and it's not. It is just a straight open world action adventure game. I'm gonna just go out on a limb and assume there's gonna be RPG elements, but you know.
Yeah, look, boy, I have to bring up the fact that there are a lot of salty straight men on the internet who are
because it's a female.
As soon as I saw the main character, I'm like, they're gonna be mad.
Yeah, and
like,
they
It's just so fucking predictable. It's ridiculous.
It's stupid. When literally you've got the two fucking Star Wars Jedi games where you get to play as a white boy.
When are they going to have a Star Wars game starring a white man with red hair and a robot, and I can just swing a lightsaber around and kill a bunch of space Nazis?
When are they going to let me play as a white man in Star Wars? God fucking forbid.
Like, are they mad because this game might be better?
No, they're just mad because of a woman.
It's possible that this game might be actually better than those two games. Again, like, this game looks like it's going to be pretty solid, right? Like, it's got space combat. It's got, you can go from planet to planet again. Like, a lot of games are starting to do that now. Mm-hmm. It looks cool. But, again, they're just taking everything, you know, from other games and just kind of putting it in this one, which is fine. And it's massive. They do The Division, right? The Division,
Yeah.
I like The Division too. I love that game. I put it like 200 hours in it.
Did you really? Wow.
Yeah.
You are one of the only people I know that stuck with it.
No, The Division 2 was really good. Man.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law, my brother-in-law is a big Division guy. They're still updating.
Yeah, they're still updating The Division 2 to this day, which is impressive considering it came out like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hope it's good.
They're doing some interesting concepts. Like, apparently, like because you're a smuggler and you know, you can go around being a dick and doing illegal shit, you can get like a bounty from the Empire, and so like, and almost like a wanted level in GTA. So like, you know, like, yeah, the Empire will hunt you down, and you know, if they see you in space, they'll go after you, and you have to evade and stuff like that. So that part of it's pretty cool. They do need to do a good job differentiating themselves from the Fallen Order series, because that's going to be the immediate point of comparison. Because if this game is just Fallen Order but no lightsabers, then I feel like it's going to fall a little flat. It's got to have something to it that it kind of has that personality. And again, getting to play as a smuggler, apparently not seeing any Skywalkers in sight, despite the fact that it does take place between Empire and Return of the Jedi. These are all steps in the right direction. So
yeah.
Honestly, I think it's going to be a better game than the Fallen Order games. It's a different type of game, but I think, like, overall, you'll be able to do more, first of all. Probably a longer playtime. So.
Yeah, because, the Fallen Order games are good, but they're, like, not Soulsborne games, right? Like, they're...
Yeah,
they're great value Soulsborne games. Which is great for someone who like is not into that type of game and kind of wants to dip their toe in it. But I'm more of, when it comes to games with, you know, big worlds and stuff, I'm more along in this camp where it looks like they're actually basically GTA Star Wars.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a quick story before we move on to the next thing, because we're talking about the fact that, you know, man babies on the internet get mad because women in my game don't like. So I had a technical issue with Super Mega Baseball 4 on Steam Deck. So I like posted in the EA answer center to see like, hey, like, is there anything going on with this? And there are people on. So like, you guys have seen Super Mega Baseball, right? Like, you understand like the art style. It's very arcadey. The characters are very exaggerated. And the game is also like co-ed, they just have men and women in the game, because who gives a shit? It's not real baseball players anyway, so why the fuck wouldn't you just have, you know, like, representation in the game like crazy? And there are people on the fucking forums bitching like, is there a way that I can get just immediately, like, instantly
men only,
all women from my franchise mode, because like, I don't want any women, and I go through and I delete them all from the teams, and then whenever new free agents come in every year, there's always some women that I then have to, like, I'm just like, bro, like, it's not that serious. Like, if you want to play an all dude baseball game, just go play the show. It's right there.
At this point, you have psychological issues, right?
Yeah, man.
Like, you really need to go to a therapist for, because that's crazy.
Yeah, man. Right? Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's really weird.
I just want to play my arcade sim baseball game with as much realism as possible, and there would not be women playing in this fake professional baseball league. So,
I've never been upset that someone was in a game.
How can a female strike out David Ortiz? That's completely unrealistic.
Yo, all right, yo.
That's psychological trauma or something. I don't know what the fuck you want to call that, but you need to go to a therapist.
Yes. No, there's,
or a psychologist.
There's a lot of men who had their feelings hurt by a woman once. and never got over it. And that's,
or I've never been with a woman.
That too.
Or and they just like
my eternal plea to all men.
Good Lord,
do better. Just do better.
Yeah, just
or if you can't do better, relax. Just shut the fuck up.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
So switching gears, conspiracy hat time. So I'm not a conspiratorial guy, but I am in this case. So a couple days before the Xbox showcase and Summer Games Fest, an intern or some employee at Atlas accidentally, quote unquote, posted and leaked the Persona 3 remake and the Persona 5 Tactics trailer that were supposed to be debuted at Summer Games Fest. And everyone's like, oh, that sucks. Like, oh, it sucks that we couldn't be surprised by this and this, that, or the other thing. And then so they played those trailers during the Xbox presentation. And then they played another Atlas trailer for a game that no one had ever heard of called Metaphor ReFantazio that in many ways looks very much like just Persona 6 in all but name.
It looks like a diet Persona game.
Yeah. And my conspiracy theory is those were planned leaks to throw people off the scent so they couldn't sniff out the fact that they had this new debut game that they were going to drop on everybody's head and get people very excited for this new RPG from Atlas.
Yep.
What is it called?
It's called Metaphor ReFantazio. ReFantazio. Yes.
Yeah, I saw the trailer. I thought it was for Persona.
It
was Metaphor ReFantazio Persona something. Or
it's literally the same creative team of Persona 5. It's the same game director, Katsura Hoshino. It's fucking Shoji Meguro during the music.
Yeah.
It's clearly the same artist.
The menu system looks
exactly the same.
It just takes place in like a fantasy esque.
Yeah. It's high fantasy Persona rather than like
high school
contemporary Tokyo high school Persona. But
yo, like, even the personas look the creature design looks similar. Yo, okay.
Again, because it's the same. It's exactly the same creative team. And whatever, I'm gonna fucking play it.
And
me.
And so will I. Now that I'm a true blue, dyed in the wool. Persona fan, because I played one game and really enjoyed it.
I was going to say, you played Persona 5.
That's right. They got me in the door. I am Persona 4. I'm going to play that at some point.
Persona 4 is great, and so is Persona 3, and I'm looking forward to having more people play Persona 3, because like it's one of these things that, while I'm glad that they did the up-resed port of Persona 3 Portable. Persona 3 Portable was always meant to be like a very streamlined, slimmed down portable version of Persona 3. It's not what I consider to be the full experience of the game. Much as I love the female protagonist route in P3P, I don't get a lot of joy out of playing Persona 3 Portable because like it strips a lot of the personality and a lot of the life out of that game because they had to put it on a PlayStation Portable. So I'm looking forward to Persona 3 Reload, much as they have confirmed, at least for right now, that when it releases, it will not have the female protagonist route from Persona 3 Portable, and it will not have the content from the playable epilogue of Persona 3 Fez. Now, that being said, both of these things would be very easy to add in as DLC. The FES content in particular, because Persona 3 Fez basically just like, it's an epilogue. It's not like Persona 5 Royal or Persona 4 Golden, where the new content is folded into the pre-existing narrative structure throughout. It is a situation where it's literally like this takes place after the main game and it's like an extra 20 hours worth of content. That would be very easy for them to just dump in 6 months after Reload releases as a $10 DLC, $15 DLC. No problem. And same thing with the female protagonist route. You know, it would change some stuff from a vanilla playthrough of Persona 3. But it's stuff that they, if they wanted to do it, could be added on as DLC at a later point in time. And it wouldn't surprise me if they ended up doing that at some point too. So I'm not hard pressed on Reload being a remake of just vanilla Persona 3. Much as I understand the desire to have it be a definitive edition of Persona 3 with all of the extra content from the other two editions of the game that had come out since the original launch in 2006. So I'm gonna play it. You're not gonna stop me. I have long been an advocate for Persona 3. I like Persona 3 more than I like Persona 4 in a lot of ways. So yeah, I'm all in. I'm really excited to play it. I hope it's the kind of release that, like, you know, that gets people who started into the series with Persona 5 to stay with the series. Mm-hmm. So.
And speaking of which, I can't wait to fool myself into thinking that I'm going to really enjoy a grid-based tactics game when I play Persona 5
Tactica. Yeah, Persona 5 Tactica was a bit of a surprise, in so much that I wasn't expecting them to go into this genre. Mm-hmm. But it's, excuse me, it's basically Persona XCOM.
Yeah.
It's a cover-based grid tactical RPG with the Persona 5 characters. Like, oh yeah, I'm going to play the shit out of that. Are you kidding me? I love that style of game.
I just realized, too, that they had P5R, P5S, and now P5T. That just clicked in my head. So, mm-hmm. Which is very funny.
Keeping in mind that Persona 5 was also part of the Persona Q series.
What?
So, yeah.
The more you know.
So I'm really and Persona 5 Tactica comes out before the end of the year. That's due out in November, and that'll be out on all systems. Notably, Persona 5 Tactica is confirmed for Xbox, PC, PlayStation and Switch. At least as of right now, the Persona 3 Reload is not confirmed for Switch yet. Mm-hmm. They confirmed it for PlayStation and for Steam. They didn't confirm it for Switch. I just wonder if it needs an extra little bit of time in the oven for a Switch version. But given that it runs on the same engine as Persona 5 and you can now play Persona 5 on Switch, again, it feels like it will get there eventually. It's just it probably needs a little extra more time. But yeah, I mean, Atlas has plenty of stuff going on. I guess the one thing that I'm sort of waiting on from Atlas is I would love some mainline Shin Megami Tensei stuff. We're in the middle of the 30th anniversary year of the Shin Megami Tensei franchise at large, so I guess I don't know.
I feel like they know where their money's going to be made at this point after P5R finally was like the one that really broke through. So,
but like even still, like they're still doing like a huge concert in LA in a couple of weeks, and you know it's not like there aren't mainline Shin Megami Tensei fans out there. I would love to see them put fucking Shin Megami Tensei 5 on literally any other system that isn't the Switch. Much as I loved playing it on the Switch, I would like to see it land on more systems because I think more people would pick it up and play it. You know, the Nocturne remaster that they released a couple years ago ended up doing pretty well. I would love to see more of the PS2 era, like non-Persona Shin Megami Tensei games get bumps to other systems too, like Digital Devil Saga or the Raido Kuzunoha games. But you know, we'll see what ends up happening on that front. But yeah, look, if you're a fan of the Persona series, there's a lot on the way, so I can't complain about any of it.
Yep.
Speaking of complaining, densepistols.com/Amazon. I keep asking you people to go there, to densepixels.com/Amazon. When you do, you can buy whatever you want. You don't pay anything extra. And we get a finder's fee. So I'm going to go to densepixels.com/Amazon right now. I'm going to type in ReFantazio. And
I don't think you're gonna get any results. well, you'll get something.
So. this is very odd. Okay, multiple results, but the first result is a bestseller. Oh, it's a sponsored result, so I don't know. But when you go to densepixels.com/Amazon and type in ReFantazio, the first sponsored result is a Dreo Nomad One Tower fan for home. 24 feet per second velocity, quiet cooling fan with 90 degree oscillation. 20,000 plus people bought it within the past month. It's got 4.5 stars out of 12,000 ratings, and it's only $69.99. You can get it next day. but only if you go to densepixels.com/Amazon. That's how the next day and 2-day thing works. It only works if you go to densepixels.com/Amazon.
That's right.
Get yourself a cooling fan by searching ReFantazio for some strange reason.
You can also get a Saber pepper spray 2-in-1 stun gun.
In pink.
In pink. spray the shit out of somebody
protect yourself from all the dudes on the internet that are mad that there's a female protagonist in their video.
That is a very clever 2-in-1.
Oh my goodness.
I should have thought about it first.
A couple quick things at the end here. You know that I had to get some indie bullshit in this list from over the weekend. 33 Immortals looks really cool. This is being made by the same developers that made Spiritfarer. It's a very different game than Spiritfarer, where they are advertising this as kind of like what if Hades was like an MMO raid? And that's basically what it is, where you are cooperatively playing this action RPG with 32 other people going to tackle these challenges and big bosses. The theming of the game is based off of Dante's Inferno, which is a theme that I quite like in different properties. And so it looks pretty cool. I've watched some videos on this. It looks dope, and I'm interested to learn more. So that game's supposed to come out next year. But if you liked Hades, or if you like those, you know, like hack and slash isometric games, then this might be one to keep an eye on down the road. Let us hope that they have cross-platform play when this game does come out.
33 Immortals. Wasn't that the name of that movie, Terrence, terrorist? Immortal.
37 Hours?
No,
was it the one where they killed Jesus or some shit?
Yeah, where they sent assassins back in time to kill Jesus?
What?
Yeah, yo, I don't remember what the name of it is, but it's similar. Yeah, I knew exactly.
So apparently the reason they ended at 33 is because...
Assassin 33 AD?
Yes. Oh, okay.
That's exactly what
it is. All right. Title. Never mind, that's undo this. The reason they landed at 33 with this is because apparently, since it's based on the Divine Comedy, like the Divine Comedy is made up of three works, each of which having 11 chapters, so 33. Like they thought it made, you know, made sense in that regard. Plus, they just wanted to be different. They didn't want to have 32 player co-op. They're like, just put one more in. And so now it's 33.
Oh, this looks cool. Like when I saw this, I'm like, this looks like it would be really, really fun because I'm a huge fan of these types of games.
So. Yeah. So again, I hope it comes out and everything, and I hope that you can play with people on regardless of console because that would be pretty fucking dope. And a game like this is going to need people playing it, so hopefully that's a thing. Very quickly, there's only one other question in the post office besides Rashawn's questions, which we asked earlier the show, and it's a fair update. MJ2 Macho asked, 1 week into Street Fighter VI, how are we feeling? Marissa is ridiculous. Manon is annoying. Sorry, Johnny. But they're having fun. I haven't gotten to play as much as I'd like, because again, too many games came out at the same time, so it's been tough splitting time between them.
I think this is Malcolm, and I'm still playing like you. I'm not playing as much as I'd like to because I found people to play Diablo with, and we tend to play during our free time. But I do try to get some matches in every once in a while just to kind of unwind a bit. And I haven't played too many Manons, but Yeah, she's real annoying. And it's like Metal Level 5 Manon is just like the scariest thing in the world to me.
I've seen gameplay of her. Her throw range looks cheap.
Yeah, yo.
Like it looks like she just kind of slides in at you, and you're like, but she wasn't even close to me. How did
she? And like she brings you to her, right? Yeah. Like there are moves that, and one of her moves is like a contact command throw, and it's one of the throws that ups your metal level. So it's just and she's not like overly complicated, right? Like all her. Her most complicated throw is like a half circle. And like the whole point of having strong characters, strong grappling characters, is you give them complicated inputs so that you earn that big damage. Yeah. You don't have to earn damage with Manon, you know? Like
and the other thing is like all her throws do like 30% damage. I'm like, what the fuck? I was looking at matches, just the matches in general of all the fighters. I'm like, okay. Some of these people look like they might be slightly broken, but all right.
Yeah, Lily kind of sucks.
Even with her range, she sucks.
Every Lily that I've fought is just terrible. I don't know if it's the people I'm playing or if it's the character, but every Lily that I've fought is god awful. JPs are also very annoying. Like I can kind of. A JP can zone me out, and I'm a zoner, so it's really annoying.
I would imagine he's a bad matchup for Galvan's.
Yeah, man, he's just fuck, man. Like, cause I, if I'm full screen, like he's an excellent zoner. Like, just put it that way. And I can't stay away. So I have to get in, but I don't do well walking forward. You know what I mean? So it just is. I don't know. JP is annoying.
You got to get that hitbox, Micah, so you can charge that sonic boom while you're walking.
So he's really annoying to me. But I fight a lot of Marissas. Marissas are fun to fight because like Marissa does like crazy damage, and it's fun having that like juggernaut character. She's fun to play, but she's also fun to fight. Lukes are okay to fight. Cammies annoy me personally.
good Cammies annoy me. I don't mind playing someone who's not very good with her, but man, if someone knows what they're doing, god,
yeah,
it's a pain in the ass to fight against them. I did jump into
and rank. Juries are annoying.
Yeah. I did jump into rank finally with Ken. I calibrated into bronze and I had a really good time. Like I played probably 25 matches in ranked, and they were all really competitive, really fun. People played full sets, which is usually good. It was just good. Like I said, the moment to moment combat in Street Fighter VI, we said it last week when we gushed about it. It's just really fun. Like the chess match is fun. Managing the different systems is really engaging. Sucks when you forget about like to check on your drive, and then all of a sudden like you go into burnout and you're just like, oh fuck, like you just sit there and fucking scream. But no, it's like the matchmaking's been good, the online play has been excellent. No complaints. I just wish I had more time to dedicate to it, because I too have been playing a lot of Diablo and a lot of baseball. That's been probably taking the majority of my time. So
yeah, rank does a very, very good job of finding people at your skill level. Like it, like even matches that I, you know, that I lose, not even matches, when I lose a match, it is a competitive match. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I do like that people actually do play a set. But yeah, like Diablo, I got a level 51 summoner, a level 20.
I gotta step my game up. Who are you playing?
And a level 25 barbarian, and a couple other. I've found a couple people who helped me get through the capstone dungeon.
Oh, you're already on world tier 4, are you? Look at you.
No, no, three.
The nightmare dungeons then.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's fun, but like. Well, you know, once you hit 50, it's like, oh shit. Like that's when the game, like you can personalize it, obviously, but the grind is there.
Very good.
What did you guys think of, before we go, what did you guys think of the Mortal Kombat 1 gameplay reveal? If either of you watched it at all.
It looks like Mortal Kombat.
I mean, they just keep pushing it over the top with the X-ray moves. Like it's, again, like, this is yet another fucking episode and Brad has trouble suspending his disbelief. Like, you can't have an X-ray move someone's spinal cord gets severed.
Well, X-ray moves aside, I'm not talking about the X-ray moves. I'm talking about the moment-to-moment combat, because that's all I actually give a fuck about when it comes to fighting.
I mean,
so the animations and all of that. Of course, Mortal Kombat, NetherRealm's games always look amazing. But, you know,
I'm talking about like assist fighter is an interesting way to go with this. I will say,
it looks more like 11 than it does 10.
Is that a compliment or
that's not a good thing? That's not a good thing.
I saw a bunch of people said that they played it and the cameo system opens, like they don't have those what were those when they had you had to choose which style you wanted.
Variations.
Yeah, they don't have variations anymore. They just give them all their moves back, so you don't have to worry about variations. But they said the cameo system really opens the gameplay up. But I'm like, yeah, that's cute, but this shit looks like it's fucking running in water.
Yeah, I don't like man.
Very slow fighting games. Like, I'm a Marvel vs. Capcom guy. I play every fighting game, actually, but like I like speed in my fighting games, and this looks really slow. Like, bump it up like 10% or something. Mortal Kombat X was, I really enjoyed 9 and X. Those were my two favorite Mortal Kombat.
9 was, I really enjoyed 9.
Yeah.
10 was really good. I really enjoyed 9. It's just the way that their combo system is, man. Like, it doesn't feel, it feels very restrictive, right? Like, it's very dial-a-combo. And I love Tekken, right? Tekken is also dial-a-combo, but Tekken doesn't feel like Mortal Kombat, right? Like, Tekken doesn't, like Tekken feels fluid, whereas Mortal Kombat is like, it feels like you're stuck in traffic, right? You go a little bit and then you stop. And then you go a little bit and
you can't cancel or pull out of combos in Mortal Kombat, can you? Like, once you dial it in, like, you're kind of locked in until
they've gotten a little, like, it's dial a combo and you're kind of locked into combos once you start them. But there are some combos where you can, you know, kind of stop them short. But it's still the same system that has been for like the last 12 years. I didn't like 11 at all. I hated 11. Couldn't stand it. It was too slow. I'm like, stop trying to make this shit Street Fighter. You're not Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Like, you've always been like the worst combat system. You're 30 years old, but like, you've always been the worst combat system game wise.
Yeah.
Fighting game wise to me. But like, you had that hook where you rip people's fucking spinal cords out of their bodies.
That's all you needed, right? That's all you needed.
That's a long way.
I mean, like, I'm going back and thinking about all the other Mortal Kombats, right? Like, you remember Mortal Kombat 1 and 2? Like, there were no, like, there was no, like, combo system. Like, it was just, like, high punch, high punch, high punch, high punch, high punch, sweep. You know what I mean?
When did Mortal Kombat come out?
The original? 92?
92, yeah.
I was 11 years old when that game came out. And I remember people were just gathered around that fucking cabinet because they figured out, more fatalities,
right?
And they were like, oh my god, it looks awesome. But the gameplay itself was just like them punching a speed bag and then sweeping them or doing jump kicks until they took all their health away. I'm like,
I was partial to the roundhouse when I played Mortal Kombat,
so. Or the uppercut. Yeah. Like, it's those games, like, I know people have it's nostalgia. Mortal Kombat 1 and 2 aren't very good.
No, yo, they're not.
It's just not. Four, I think, added, was it 3 or 4 that added a run that made it a little bit better? It was faster pace.
Yeah.
Ultimate three. I liked Ultimate three.
Yeah. That added the run. So that was cool.
Every 3D Mortal Kombat can go to hell. Every single one of them. 4, 5, 6, 7.
Garbage.
Like, all of them were terrible. And then Mortal Kombat 9 was great. And then Mortal Kombat 10. Most people prefer 10 over 9. I prefer 9 over 10,
honestly. Yeah, I was in top 100 on Xbox in Mortal Kombat 9. I was playing the hell out of that game. But this,
I've looked at a bunch of people talk about it, and you know, they're trying to be optimistic. One guy, the fighting game guy on IGN, he was trying his damnedest to say something nice about that game. He really couldn't, man. he was just like Mortal Kombat 1? Yeah, about Mortal Kombat 1. He was just like, you know, if you like 11, you're gonna like this. And I'm like, ooh. Even the commenters was like, oh, I don't think he liked it.
Like, yeah, it's an acquired taste. Like, it really is. And they're more, I understand that they're trying like a new thing with the cameo system, but they're more worried about what the game looks like than the actual combat. Like, they have their combat system, they're going to stick with it through thick and thin. But they're just trying to push like what a fighting game looks like. And again, their games look amazing, and they always have wild story modes. But I don't know, man. It's going to sell 10 million copies because people love Mortal Kombat. But like, we have to admit that Mortal Kombat is like one of the worst fighting games.
I mean, I've never thought the worst fighting game.
It just is. Somebody on our Discord, I forget who said it. I apologize, but they said, I feel like I just want to read about Mortal Kombat lore and just play it.
I like the music. I like
the right. Yeah, the like music once is also pretty dope. Once you look at all the fatalities on YouTube, right? Like, what else?
What else is there to do?
Look, I'm talking all this bullshit. I'm probably going to get it because I'm a sucker.
I have one more question, and it's in the same vein as being a sucker. Is Idris Elba getting you back into Cyberpunk? Like, are you gonna get the $30 expansion?
No, because it's $30. It's $30. I'm not getting it. It's $30. Like, if it was cheaper, yeah. Look, I got a pre-order of Spider-Man Friday. That's where my money will go. Get out of here. And no, I'm not getting the $200 Venom statue. Because one, that's a lot of fucking money, and two, it's Venom. I don't, you know, I like Venom, but I don't like
Venom. Who is Venom, Micah? What's your speculation?
Who is Venom?
You know, smart money is on Harry Osborn, given the end of the main story of the first game, which also kind of coincides with one of those Spider-Man cartoons where Peter's dad and, ironically, Eddie Brock's dad were scientists, and they were trying to find a cure for cancer, and they found that this symbiote would leech the cancer, but it's cancer, so it's forever spreading. So the symbiote would always have to be on the person to constantly feed on it, and until the symbiote got big enough to take over the host. So I'm thinking they're going to do something like that, because Harry is ill in that game, spoiler alert, for a, what is it, 5 years now?
Yeah, something like that.
Spoiler alert for a five-year-old game. Smart money's on Harry Osborn. And it would make sense thematically, right? Like, Harry's his best friend. You gotta fight your best friend, right? Like, all the pieces are there. All the pieces are there.
Very good.
You guys yada yada'd Dragon's Dogma a couple weeks ago. I took offense to that.
Oh, did you? I don't think I knew that you were a Dragon's Dogma guy.
No, now, I love Dragon.
Well, so let me tell you. So I never played it. I've heard enough people whose tastes I jive with speak like magnanimously about Dragon's Dogma, to the point that I bought it. I just hadn't gotten a chance to actually sit down and play it yet. Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. I bought it when it first came out, before the Dark Arisen DLC and everything. Yeah, it's fun. Like, it has a really good job system. The actual, like, the magic system is really cool. Like, the magic is, like, legit magic. Like, when you create a fireball, it does a lot of damage, and it looks awesome. It's a spectacle. They said that the new one is 4 times bigger than the original, so that's cool. They still have the pawn system. It's not multiplayer, which kind of sucks, but it is what it is. Now, the pawn system is what I really enjoyed, because you create your own pawn. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys know how to pawn system
work, right? You create your own, and you get two other randos from the internet.
Yeah, you go into like the little pawn shop, tech, like literally, and pick up two pawns to work with you, and then people can get use your pawn. And then when your pawn comes back, it comes back with experience. And like if you haven't gone into an area prior to your pawn going to that area with someone else, it'll come back and start telling you like little tidbits on how to fight different enemies because they've done it in someone else's game. Mm-hmm. So it was cool. Like it was just a real fun game.
Dragon's Dogma is a game that, at least from my memory, came out a little too close to Skyrim for me to give a shit about.
That's exactly what happened. It came out like 2012 or something.
It came out like 6 months after Skyrim. It was like that and Kingdoms of Amalur are two games that in my
mind
it got
that's what I was just gonna say. It got Kingdoms of Amalur. Kingdoms of Amalur came out a month before Mass Effect 3 and fucking doomed that game forever. So
yep, that's exactly what happened. Like I beat Skyrim. But I think I enjoyed my time with Dragon's Dogma more than Skyrim.
That's fair.
And this new one, it looks like it's gonna be pretty cool.
God, I wish.
Look, I didn't mean to say that Dragon's Dogma was a bad game. What I meant to say was it came out and no one gave a shit about it because everyone was still playing Skyrim.
Yeah, that was very unfortunate. But yeah, if you've never played it, it's fucking 12 years old at this point. But
look, I ain't going to play it now, but good for you for getting a sequel.
Yeah.
I hope you have a really good time.
I am, I'm curious to hear, you listeners, like what other games like you saw over Summer Games Fest that you're really interested in. You can let us know by going to denspixels.com/fans in our Discord, and going either in the general chat or episode discussion. We'd love to hear from you. Also, I have a challenge for listeners out there. Okay. I have a challenge. So, I don't know a single person in my life, not one that I know personally, who has played and was really into any of the Fable games. And I need someone to explain to me what is the hook in those games. Like, what is the thing?
You can be a bad guy and it's cool.
Whatever. Shut up, Peter Molyneux. No one cares about what you have to say.
I beat Fable 2.
I take it there's a new one coming out.
There is. There's a subsection of people on the internet that are very excited about it, and some people that are a little put off by what they saw in the trailer that Microsoft put out.
Strange.
But I need to know what brings you into a Fable game where you're just like, fuck, I love Fable. Like, this game fucking kicks ass. Like, I need to know it.
Brad, I didn't finish Fable 2.
And I don't remember what was so special about it.
What other game lets you hold hands with someone?
Yeah.
So that's my challenge. Of all of our listeners, someone has to be a huge Fable fan. And then I'm not even gonna be a dick when I say this. I just have to know, because when I look at Fable, I don't understand where the hardcore fans come from. And I've, like, my experience with that game has been like the first 5 hours of Fable 2. Like, that's literally all that I've played of the Fable series. So, and I did not get into it. Make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you download fine podcasts. Go to youtube.com/denspixels so you can see all of our beautiful visages while you're listening to this podcast, including Micah mean mugging the camera just then. And then you can also follow us all on Twitch. I am denspixels Brad, Terrence Zephyrs 410. Carry is stuff. It's carry. A lot of fun this week. I enjoyed talking about all these fun games that are coming out that none of us have any time to play because adulting is hard. So thank you guys very much for watching and listening, and we'll see you all the next time.
See ya.
Take it easy.
See ya.